All right, continuing this wonderful and encouraging chapter of chapter 6 of Romans, my friend, what's this once for all about, that Christ died once for all? Let's take a look at that. It has some enormously important good news for us. This is Colin Cook. Thank you for listening today. And this is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news of our Heavenly Father. Have you forgotten that the gospel is about good news? To hear a lot of the preaching from the pulpit, you wouldn't think that at all. You go home stressed and worried and burdened down with more challenges and sins, and you've forgotten the good news. That isn't to say there aren't challenges in the gospel, but the emphasis must be on the good news, else the challenges turn into one more chain around your neck, and the chain is hanging by the weight of the law. Now, my friend, let's look at this. Romans chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 say the following. Well, let's get, I always like to get the connection. Verse 8, now if we died to sin, and you understand that that dying to sin is not a slow squeezing out of your emotions and heart every single desire, but rather recognizing that Christ's death on the cross was a judgment of sin on your behalf, so that he was judged and executed instead of you. Now, if we died with Christ, as we indeed have, we believe that we shall also live with him. Live with him declared innocent, justified. Live with him declared resurrected with no power of sin upon us. Knowing, now here's another knowing. He mentioned a knowing in verse 6. Now here's another knowing in verse 9. That Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. No more death for Christ. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. It wasn't just an ordinary death. This was a judgment death. This was the death. Well, there's no ordinary death, actually. All death is a power of judgment, but we are freed from that judgment even though we die. But that's another story. For the death that he died to sin. He died as a judgment for sin. And listen to this. He died once for all. One time. Once for all. Now, this is fascinating because, you know, Hebrews, we're always inclined to think that that Hebrews was not written by Paul. It has such a different language structure. It is not introduced by Paul. And I have to admit, it probably wasn't written by Paul, but I feel very tempted to think sometimes it was. And what makes me think that sometimes are the ideas and the similarities so very, very close. Look, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, Paul says, not with the blood of goats, verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, etc., he's saying that these have to be sacrificed many, many times. But when Christ comes, he does it once for all. And look at verse 27 and 28. For as it is appointed, that is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27, 28, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. How interesting and how beautiful. And look at chapter 10, verse 14 of Hebrews. For by one offering he has perfected for all time, forever, as one translation puts it, those who are being sanctified. You see then that we're talking about a one time thing that Jesus did that accomplished so very much. And I want to tell you, my friends, that this is an echo of Zechariah chapter 3. verse 9, where God says through his prophet, "For behold, the stone," that is Christ, of course, "that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and," now listen to this, this is it, "I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." One day. What's that all about? Well, you know, don't you? It is the death of Christ, who took the sins of the whole world upon himself once for all and eliminated the world's sins on their behalf in himself as the man for all men, the God-man equaling all men. Now, you see, this is so important for us, my friend, because Paul says this in verses 9, well, I don't say Paul, I mean Hebrews says chapter 9, verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works?" How about that? And look at chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." What's that all about? What I've been sharing with you in Romans, that we died to sin, and therefore that means we have had our consciences sprinkled, so that we are no longer under the condemnation and the guilt of sin that comes from the law, and we are no longer under the fear of sin that comes from the judgment of death. These are two massive, monumental ideas that must flood your mind, or that you must pull in whenever you are struggling with sins or addictions or the feeling that you are not in God's kingdom because so much trouble is coming to you. This is where Paul says, in the context, "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all." And what it says there about Jesus, all of it is accounted to you. How do I know that? Verse 11, men. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And so, what I am to say to myself is this, knowing this, that Colin, having been raised from the dead in Christ, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Not just the end of life death, but the judgment death, where there is a judgment and a punishment over everything I do. For the death Colin died, he died to sin once for all. So your struggle must be put in a totally new and different context. It cannot anymore be put under the dynamics of guilt and condemnation and judgment. In other words, sin and death. Or rather, sin and death. Sin creates guilt. Judgment creates death. Your struggle must no longer be put under those terms. Well, what terms should they be put under, you say, Colin? They are now, my friend, put under terms of justification, that is, declared innocent, and life, that is, resurrection. So that you see your struggle, whatever it is, a bad habit, an addiction, or just worrying thoughts, or anxiety, you know, all kinds of things, all of those struggles, all the problems of life, must now be put under the rubric of the kingdom of the second Adam, where there is resurrection, where there is life, where there is no power of death. Well, how do you do that? Will you respond to every struggle and difficulty? "Father, I thank you for this temptation. for this is an opportunity to train my faith. I thank you for this failure even though I'm afraid to thank you. It sounds so sacrilegious, but thank you because though it is sin, I praise you that it has no judgment in it and no condemnation, but it is providing me an opportunity to keep bouncing back to you. Yes, I repent of what I did. Yes, I regret what I did. Yes, I apologize if it involves someone else, but I do not come under judgment, but rather training of faith. This is so monumentally shocking, my friend, that your natural mind will not be able to absorb it. Well, your natural mind was never meant to absorb it in the first place, for goodness sake. These truths never come to the natural mind and make sense. They're not meant to redeem the natural mind. These truths are meant to reveal to you by faith that your natural mind is dead. It's counted and finished and reckoned as dead. Let these truths, though they shock your natural mind, give your mind of the spirit of faith enormous boldness and courage to go forward. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ and our Lord. And when you do, there is a new sphere of existence, a new kingdom to operate in, that is no longer fed by the dynamics of guilt and shame and fear, that is now fed by the dynamic of gratitude and praise and a new expanding love for others that leads you to be more concerned about them than yourself. Because, you see, before you had no time to be concerned about them, no energy, you were absorbed by yourself. But now you do have some new spiritual energy, and the flower of love begins to blossom, and you stir one another up to good works. One of the good works you could engage in, my friend, is a decision to become a partner of this broadcast and support it financially, either a one-time substantial donation or a small donation on a monthly basis, whatever works for your budget. A partner is someone who supports this broadcast by his donations, who is so moved by what he's getting from this broadcast, so trained, so helped, so freed from the struggles and the expenses of addiction, that he says, I'm going to put some of my money where it really counts. Instead of spending it on drink and drugs, sex, binges, I will spend it on the Lord's work. And so, my friend, I encourage you to become a partner of this broadcast. How do you do that, then? You send your first check simply to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366. That's in Littleton. And that's Colorado, of course, 80160, FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Now, if you'd, in return, I will send you my Cook's CD, my Cook's Monthly Message, which at the present time is Training Faith Through the Parables, and this will be a real blessing to you. If, however, you would rather not receive any literature, simply request that. No literature, please, and I won't send any of that to you. You can take care of this as well by PayPal. Go to the faithquestradio.com website, faithquestradio.com, and click on donations there and the PayPal button. Or you can do it by credit card if you like. Call me at 303-738-8694, that's 303-738-8694, and I'll arrange what you want me to do to take off your card. Thank you then, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.